Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Report, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
Well, good day to loyal listeners on the Worcester Report. My name's Tony Coppell. And if you're listening to this for the first time, a particular welcome to you. And it may be that the reason you're listening is because you heard that our guests, our interview guests, are Johan and Marie Fourie from IRIS, IRIS Western Cape, who are our supervisors and mentors. And we thank God for them. But before we get to that, I've been doing a little extra broadcasting in the last week or so. We've been technically on vacation. We haven't been teaching in school each day, and that's given us a little bit more time to broadcast. And so I've been putting out quite a bit of music, Christian teaching, and so on this channel. Well, we haven't advertised it. We're not there sitting in the studio speaking after every track that's played, but we are playing some good Christian music. And if by any chance you've seen our logo up on the Galcom Xtremer, and you've clicked on it, I hope you've enjoyed some of the stuff that you might have heard. It's quite a wide variety of music that we've collected over the years and teachings from good people who know what they're talking about when they're discussing the kingdom of God. So if you haven't checked it out and you're not sure what to listen to for a few hours, well, go to the Xtremer and see if our logo is up. And if it is, click on it. And usually, if it's up there, you will hear something. Sometimes I forget to switch it off at this end and it stays up for a little while. And I apologize in advance for that. Now, as you know, our format is our guest speakers first, and then other important things such as ways to grow in God later. Our guests today on CWCP are Johan and Marie Fourie. And if it weren't for them, we wouldn't be in South Africa. So they're kind of important people to us. They founded God With Us Ministries about 2004, and they became an IRIS base in 2012. Twice a year, they run Father's House schools in their Robertson Training Center, and they're training missionaries, therefore, for the world. They've had 9 schools so far. Welcome to CWCP Radio, Johan and Marie.
Thank you for welcoming us.
Yeah. Can we go back to the founding of God With Us Ministry? Something must have happened in your lives that gave you this intense desire to found that ministry. Mm. Tell us about that.
I suppose it was a call on our lives right from the start. So it's a call that you not necessarily know it's there. But if you look back at your life, you can see there's a golden thread where God, even though you step away from Him, He never leaves you alone. Think about my own life. I think I got my first Bible at the age of 6 from my grandmother and grandfather, godly people also, having a big influence. I think what I know about love, I learned from them specifically. And my one grandfather from my mother's side specifically was very, very loving. He loved well. And I think the same thing with my mother also, that aspect or character trait of my grandfather was very prevalent in my mother's life also. So I think what I know about love is directly related to them. So I suppose God had a plan. I always said I would never become a teacher or a preacher. I would never go into ministry. But God had other plans. So the stuff that you normally resist or you think it's not important, God has got your, He's got your name and He's got your number. He knows what He's placed in you. And if I think about my own life, the one aspect that comes easily, and I think I messed with it, is the gift of revelation. When I look at scripture, it comes easy. It's just part of who I am. So that's also another golden thread through my life, is opening the Bible, and there's always something that pops. So I'm like a little child about opening the Bible and reading the Bible. I have to excuse my voice. It's a bit of a bug in my voice, but in any case, I think God was basically setting us up for ministry. I had friends also at my workplace, which was a development bank, corporate life, being a development banker for 15 years of my life. But even there, you could see there was a godly setup to steer me into a different direction. And some of my friends said 10 years before we stepped out already, you're ready for full-time ministry. But that's another aspect that I believe is people are too much in a hurry. They don't allow God to build character in them, and they jump into stuff prematurely. And for me, I was never really pushing or seeing ministry as identity. It was more of a release when the season is there to step into your destiny.
I think when we experienced what God has done in our lives, it was a natural outflow to give it to other people as well. And that was one of the main things why we did God with Us Ministries, or why we founded that, is because we felt God called us to do it so that we can disciple people. I love to teach, Johan said. He didn't want to become a teacher, but I love to teach. And there's nothing more fulfilling than just seeing people stepping into their godly callings. And I think God with Us Ministry was the vehicle through which we could do it.
I think our dream is to see other people's dreams come true. Specifically, their godly destiny, that kind of a dream.
Mm.
And to help catch the young ones and propel them into their destiny. So it's classic disciple making. But then again, what I said I'll never do in a different way than Marie does it as a classic teacher. For me, it's more flow, but it's the two things that I do now, is to teach in a non-threatening way, just sitting with the young ones and listening and pulling wisdom out of them and propelling them into a specific direction. So it's both preaching a little bit, and it's teaching, and it's all of that together. God knows you better than yourself, and stuff that I was thinking I'll never do easily, standing up in front of a crowd of people and speaking. What God wants you to do, because there's a passion in your heart, then it comes easy. If you have to speak about the stuff that you're passionate about. And for me, it's the gospel, it's the Bible, and it's what God wants to do through us whilst we this side of the grave, and to live out our destiny on the earth. We're not from the world, but we're in the world. And it's just to live through it.
So God with Us Ministries is still very much with us. Just run over some of the activities that it's doing these days.
Well, we love to minister into the surrounding areas, both in South Africa, but then also on mission trips going into the rest of the world. But around the area where we live, basically, we minister into the orphanage in Robertson. The townships in the close to where we live, there's a kloof or a ravine where there's about 170 people living there, and we view that as one of our main areas of ministry, just changing through the kids club, through little women's groups where they come together, but also We have a vision for a whole family, to involve the whole family by doing game nights. And recently they did like a fashion show with a difference, where they had to take the seven creation days and then basically take the clothes and depict something from the creation day. Also into the hospital in Robertson. And then in Worcester we have Tony and Lorraine doing amazing work in all various areas with children and the communities around them, teaching as well.
Being salt and light in this area. So yeah. Part of our vision is actually also the seven towns from the N1, which is the one highway, to the other highway, which is the N2, is to basically access and make a difference in all seven towns. And in Robertson now we've got Mike and Carolyn, and we've got Gary and Maggie. That's really doing tremendous work there. The same with Worcester. It's the first town from Cape Town as you enter on the R60 towards the N2, where they do beautiful work. And our big blessing to us also to see that a part of our vision has been birthed effortlessly because of the fact that God picked the two of them to come and bless us, but also the bigger community. And how effortlessly they merged or became part of this family, the Worcester family. And there's beautiful people here that's also close to our hearts, like the Worcester Christian congregation with Johan Schoenraad that we work together.
Yeah, I think also a big part of our ministry is also the Father South schools, where we get international students from various countries. And during the school, they basically every day they go and do what we call practical missions, which is basically impacting the areas around us. Closer to home, as we live on a farm and the base is on the farm, we disciple our own workers as well by starting each Monday morning with the first hour on a Monday morning. We do Bible reading and just teaching them to hear God's voice, and they share and we pray together. But also sometimes taking them on mission trips and exposing them to other countries as well.
About 2 years back, we took Gerald and Janine. Gerald is one of the farm workers. And Janine also, his wife, and the little one, Jamei, we took them on a trip to Pemba, driving all of the way from Cape Town through five countries. It was a trip of about 11,000 kilometers. But it's huge for them. For the first time they could leave South Africa, or even closer to home. They haven't been further than Cape Town, which is 2 hours from us. And for them it's a huge learning curve, and also discipling them in that way, and how they started to minister on the trip with us to Pemba.
And it also gave the other children in the Kloof a vision and a dream that it is possible. We usually they think all they can become is a farm worker like their mom or dad. Now they saw, wow, there's one of our own that actually there's doors opening up and God can do something amazing in your life, which is really good. Just giving them that opportunity to dream for something more.
And I think discipleship for us means family, and in a sense activating the body of Christ. It's the full fivefold. It's how to work together and take hands, and not to try and do everything for everybody, but activate the body. A sense of family also. It's kind of re-energizing family, because that's where a lot of healing takes place easily. And for me and Marie that don't have our own children, it's a huge privilege to work with young people from all over the world, but more intensely also working with young people around us. I think that season is changing a bit, but more of the missionaries are stepping into that role. And I think it's loosening us up to go and minister in other places in the world also. So we never really forfeited our outreach orientation. Right in the beginning, before we got part of IRIS in 2012, we had itinerant ministry working with youth groups
all around
the area where we live, and it's still part of who we are. But I think of late God is almost opening up other areas of ministry for us also, as other people start to step into the gaps that we can't or actually don't want to fill or not supposed to fill. So in a sense, it's a beautiful thing that's happening, where God is growing the family through God with us and through Iris ministries around us. And we're so glad and privileged to be part of that also.
What's the situation for a typical child of a farm worker, where their parents are, if they have two parents, are off working all day long? How does it sort of pan out for those children?
Most of them, the only dream or aspiration they had for years and years is also to become a farm worker. Many of them leave school before they matriculate or finish school. They go to a farm school that's close to the farm and sometimes in town, but many of them leave school prematurely and they just start working on the farms.
It's
and
like some, they leave their dreams behind. They live dreamless lives in a sense. They do not know that there's more. So right from the start, when we came down to the Cape Province based on a vision that God has given us of revival breaking from the south of South Africa right up into Africa, part of our destiny was to get the children to acknowledge that they can dream. And I remember the first time when we sat, it was around 2004, and that group was Gerald and Janine and his group. They were about 19, 20, 21 at that stage. It took us 25 minutes just to get them to think that it's possible for them to think that they can be anything but a farm worker. So their whole construct of farm workers, kids, is that that's the only thing that they'll be able to do one day. So for us, it would be really tremendous to see the first farm kids going to university and really reaching their potential. So we hope one day we can still see that. But even if we look at the young people that came our way those years and how they now start to disciple other people already, I would say that's a big part of...
Yeah, it's also beautiful to see now with the teams coming in how the children's perspective have changed. And now they see, wow, it's possible. And they now when you ask them, even at school, at the Kids Cup, you ask them, what do they want to become? Some of them might actually have lofty dreams, which is beautiful. So immediately the whole vision, they started dreaming
again. It opens up. You know. Even I think this morning we had a little testimony about Amalia, one of the Swedish students that at this stage she doesn't eat meat. She's with whatever, a vegetarian. But one of the girls now, since yesterday, the young girls
in the Kloof.
In the Kloof. She's about 12?
15.
She's, since this morning, she's also a vegetarian. But it's this, it's this kind of influence that people from outside, whether it's good or bad, we can discuss.
This is very un-South African.
South Africans love their meat.
Meat and potatoes is big on the menu. Leave that around. But in any case, the international students and people from the outside does really bring a dimension of influence and opening up possibilities in life for these children, there's no doubt.
So your international students that come on the Father's House schools, you sort of bring them in to the ministries and they go in and do this. And also some people have come from the Harvest School in Mozambique and they will spend some time with you and the same thing happens.
Yes.
I know the answer to that question because we were in that situation.
Yes, and we've got an outreach team coming shortly again. Yeah. We get an outreach team every year. At one stage we had two a year, but now we've got one a year coming. And we love the people, the missionaries coming from the Harvest School. Just they've got a heart to serve and a heart to...
We hope from that team, Keisha and her efforts will also be rewarded with some people, team members that can help her with the Kloof. But we'll see. It's, they need to be a fit. People have to come because God placed it in our hearts.
Let's talk about a place that both of us, Lorianne and I, think of as almost like a kind of a paradise. Mm. Pomegranate Homestead. Mm. Now, this is an important part of the things that go on in your ministries. Tell everybody about Pomegranate.
Obviously, there's no cell phone reception. So once the students get there, it's almost like they get withdrawal symptoms from just all of the electronic media that they use, social media. But within a day or two, they get back to normality, where they start to connect, play games, start to chat, do stuff, cook together.
Mm.
And at the end of the school, which is about 7 weeks, one of the things that they say really important, never ever get cell phone reception in this space, because they can connect with God. The clutter and the noise, signal interference, as I call it, is just less. They can hear God's voice. They can connect as a family. They can become normal again. And I think the Germans now call it radiation-free places on Earth, which means there's no cell phone reception. So I think we should start pushing that as a holiday destination also, where people can be in the presence of God.
Yes.
In nature, and there's no radiation from cell phones around you.
Yeah.
But it scares commodities, any place on the earth, to have spaces where there's no cell phone reception.
There's not just no cell phone reception, there's no power there.
Yeah. There's solar power, and it's a beautiful piece of nature surrounded by mountains. You do not see anybody else, it's just nature and animals and birds and... It's really a piece of... It's a piece of heaven.
To connect again and sleep deeply, because it's almost a noiseless environment also. The bedding is good, though.
Mm.
It's a really good bed. You can have a soft bed to sleep in.
Mm.
There's warm water.
Beautiful starry nights.
Yeah.
You can just look up and see God's creation at night with all the mountains.
It's totally enclosed by mountains.
Yeah.
And there's beautiful walks also to do. Again, hikes, as the nature affords you to connect with God. As Scripture says, God reveals Him through Scripture and nature.
Mm.
And pomegranate sits right in the middle of that part of God's glory, where He reveals Himself through nature in a magnificent way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And although it's quite secluded, it's quite safe as well, because it's quite deep into the farm, so people have
to walk very
far, so it's really safe.
So in terms of people being afraid of coming to Africa or South Africa, that's one of the safest spots.
Apart from the baboons.
Yeah, and maybe the leopard.
That's so elusive that you hardly ever see it. The baboons you see, and they are naughty, but they are not threatening to people.
The tortoises are friendly, and you have plenty of warning if they're coming.
Yes. Yes, we've got loads of mountain tortoises all over. Mm. So,
you mentioned that your ministry takes you into different parts of the world, and you've just come back from quite an extensive trip in Europe.
Yes.
Can you just give us a portrait of some of the things that happened to you?
Yes, we were in Europe, and we were driving through some countries, but we were actually in 13 countries, which was amazing. Some of it for the first time, like Croatia and Slovenia and Liechtenstein, which is a beautiful spot high up in the mountains, just amazing. Luxembourg, and we had some God encounters in Germany, where we saw God just resurrecting somebody who died in a big meeting, who died on stage, and God resurrected while the whole church interceded. We saw God just raising from the dead, which was absolutely amazing. In Santorini, Greece, Johan met a Greek Orthodox priest.
Yeah, we're just sitting in a church quietly contemplating for a moment. Always a lot of people around us. We just grabbed all of the moment of just listening to God's voice. But I felt I should connect with this priest whilst he was going through his prayer rituals and stuff. I felt I should give him a hug. But then he was very quick off the mark, walking into passageway and closing the door behind him. But I thought, okay, I'm going to go for it. So I walked past the door, into the door, and followed him into his little office, and we had a really good connect, a God moment where we could talk about Jesus and the potential of the seed that we carry. Jesus in seed form, like Maria carried Jesus as flesh and blood, as a human being, and now spiritually speaking we carry that same seed in us also, and we have to give birth to Jesus, so much so that corporately, so that the world should see how he works through us. And most probably some people, the only Jesus that they will ever see is the way you act to them and the way you love them. And for me that's central to the gospel also, is to slow down enough to allow space for Jesus to touch people's hearts and to listen to his voice, to live from a place of intimacy. It becomes easy to manifest the gifts and to manifest him to other people. So for me that's central to the gospel. One of the reasons why we went to England specifically for 10 days is to reconnect with our students. We try and do our alumni gathering once a year in some part of the world, just to pick up on where our students are. We also feel it's important to reconnect with our students.
Encourage them and pray together and fellowship, and also see how God is using them, to hear their testimonies of what God is doing
in their lives. Part of the fruit in their lives also. Starting the journey with them, but trying to stay connected. And it was a beautiful 10 days in England. I think England has been good to us. And with all of the interesting changes in the world, God has got a plan for England, I've got no doubt. And he's using the English people, and it was just a blessing to be blessed by England for 10 days. No doubt.
Yeah. And we enjoyed our time thoroughly in Europe, but we also believe to stop for the one. So you needn't go and look for ministry opportunities. God will just send somebody on your way. And if you are open and attentive to the Holy Spirit, it's so easy to flow and to minister to people, to love, to hug, to give them a word or a prophetic word. It was just easy. It's not like you have to go out and look for it. Just
the need is big, and it's all around you. If you can open your eyes and slow down enough and listen to his voice, you'll find people all over the world alongside you, your neighbors, wherever you go. But I think Tony also asked a question about how important it is, and maybe I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but to send people out into the darkest places, a sense of urgency of what God wants to do, because our time is limited. So for us it's also important. That's why we make disciples, is to get people to make a difference wherever they go and wherever they feel called to the ends of the earth, to make a difference. So part of the 7 weeks training with us is to equip them better to face the challenges of the mission field also.
And there's no... There's no place like Africa to experience that, because the people are open to missions, they are open to the gospel, they've got a big, warm, friendly heart, so it's so easy to evangelize people and to share. You would almost never get somebody, when you ask them, can I pray for you, is there something I can pray for you, they would always say, yes, please, pray for this, pray for that. So I would encourage people, Christians all over the world, to once in your life, if you haven't been to Africa yet, just to come here and to experience that beautiful opportunity.
It's a good place to start your mission work, is to come and start it here in Africa. But for that matter, in any place in the third world is a good place to do it. Especially for the youth of the West, which got a more of a materialistic individual take on life. It's really important to get into some third world if you're called into missions and if you're a Christian. I always encourage people everywhere where we go, in Germany and in Holland and in Switzerland and the UK, is to never forget, if things, your life gets stale, is just get on a plane, go to Africa, come and visit Africa, come and experience real life.
Now if I were to get in my car and drive from Worcester here to Robertson, About two-thirds of the way along, I would see this collection of buildings with a limestone factory, but a sign up saying Leroux and Fourry wines, handcrafted wines. And the Fourry there is you. Tell us about the other side of your life. You're a farmer.
I think that is part of the DNA of a lot of South Africans. I suppose as the world knows at this stage, it may be something controversial to say, but there's a bit of a fight about who should own the land here because of legacy and not. But it's just part of our DNA. I think both my grandfathers were farmers. And the Leroux and Fourry, the one side is from my mother's side, and the Fourry obviously from our side is both grandfathers were farmers. So I think the farm side came easily in that sense. It's stretching, I can promise you. If you're not called into farming, you do not want to farm. I think it's one of the ways God builds my character also. We always thought the farm would provide for the ministry, almost like a tent-making idea. Mm-hmm. We knew we had to bring the ministry to the Western Cape in 2003 and started to look for
a piece of land.
And we looked at about 22 farms over a three-year period, but nothing really clicked. And then at the end of that period, we found this piece, and it's a long story. I won't go into that. But God wanted this piece of land and the farming almost as a conduit for a place where he could minister intimately, away from the clutter and the noise of life to other people. So the whole idea was to create a space on the farm where people could experience God, and that is happening at this stage. We had a testimony of Muslim people. We've got a tourist thing also in the Kloof coming to stay in our cottages, and the one guy had an 8-month-old baby boy, Muslim guy, and he said to me, "This boy of mine hasn't slept for 8 months, one night through." And he said, "Last night is the first night that he slept right through."
Ooh.
"What is this place? Is something spiritual happening?" And I could testify to that. We pray for the presence of God. And a second Muslim family also said to us, "What is different from this place? We feel there's something different here." And again, we could say we pray for the farm to be a place where people can meet up with Jesus. So, but the farming side, I think, started because we believe it's going to be a supply chain. I always loved wine and winemaking. Got a good nose and a good palate. God endows us with a nose to smell. And just thinking about our senses, a lot of God's blessing comes through our senses, just help that ability to touch, to hug somebody, but also to walk amongst the vineyards. And the vineyards is such an analogy, if you look at John 50, about Jesus and his body. We should stay in him. And if you look at the vineyards and how the first miracle was changing water into wine, I think there's at least 10 or more biblical reasons why people should drink wine. If you have a history and alcohol abuse, obviously I understand that you shouldn't drink it, but biblically speaking, I think wine is in a sense not made by men. It's not really handcrafted by men. It's one of the things that God is in his infinite wisdom has given men to enjoy, if you do it in moderation, one glass at a night or something per night. That's good enough. So the whole farming idea, I think, is nature also. Nature is close to my heart. And I gain a lot of revelation, biblical revelation, from the farming side also.
Interestingly enough, Jesus turning the water into wine was our marriage sermon almost 35 years ago. So God already knew somewhere he's going to use that. If you told me then I would live on a farm and do what we're doing now and having a ministry and making wine, I would say, wow, no, this is not me. But God knows. He knows where he's taking you, and he prepares the way. And even in our wine shop, and we have a coffee shop as well, when people come in there, we minister to them. Many a time, it's not that we'll be in their face or anything, but sometimes people start crying, sometimes you just give them a hug or scripture, or sometimes they start sharing. So it's not divorcing ministry and business. The two are intermingled. And I think that's a big secret for the world. We divorce it in our minds. We divorce, like, ministry is just ministry and business is just business. But God wants to impact both. And sometimes he marries that too. And it's a beautiful thing to experience.
I can see how God uses the wine from inside to get us into places to minister also. Like our wine making fraternal. I've been asked to open some of the sessions with scriptures, reading and prayer, which never happened before. So the wine and being in business also gives us credibility in a sense to minister to people that would never have been ministered to. I can see that. So it's definitely got a big place in the way God gives us access to people's hearts to on the quiet just minister to people also.
And I think that's a nice note to end this pleasant discussion we've had. I want to thank Maria Nguyen Phuri, who are our bosses. Let's not forget that. So we try and be as nice as we can to them.
We learn a lot from you.
Well, thank you so much for talking to CWCP today. And I know from my experience that when I listen to the playback, I'm going to learn that just as much again. And then if I listen a second time, I'll learn even more from just the things you've said today. So thank you so much, and God bless you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
And thank you again, Jörn and Marie Phuri. It's an honor for us that you came onto CWCP Radio. And if you're passing the LaRue and Phuri Winery, drop in, have a lovely cup of coffee, and buy some excellent wines. This past week has been a big one for the world, with President Trump at the big NATO meeting, then in the UK with Prime Minister Theresa May, and then with President Putin in Russia. My goodness, things are happening in the world. It's actually fascinating just to watch it happening. But something that really caught my attention was the centenary of Nelson Mandela. On Wednesday, the previous day, Barack Obama had been in Johannesburg, and together with quite a number of very senior South African leaders, had spoken to a large crowd. Not just about the history of South Africa, but to some extent, the history in Obama's case, the history of the world over the last 100 years. And for any of you students of history, you should go listen and watch it. I have tweeted it. I know it's 4 hours, but it's worth your time. You'll find it on my personal Twitter page at Tony Koppel. And now to continue with Ways to Grow in God with Lorianne.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me, and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God. Growing in God through worship, in spirit and truth. My name is Lorianne, and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. Last time, we discovered that we grow in God through worship. It doesn't matter which cultural form or style you choose. It could be any worship style. It could be any genre of music. I've even heard of jazz services, as well as pop, folk, classical,
Southern Gospel, African Gospel, or Christian Rock. There's even Christian hip-hop and trance. It doesn't matter. Worship isn't just singing hymns or praise songs. It's an attitude of the heart. Worship includes the work that God is doing in you while you worship Him. It is there that we discover how to worship in spirit and in truth, as Jesus asks us to do in John chapter 4, verses 23 to 24. What does it mean to worship in spirit? I had wondered about what that really means until I attended a conference called the Glory School. During that time, I learned what heavenly worship is like. Since then, I've had several glimpses of this worship, whether through music or in my impressions while I draw while worshiping. One such piece of music is Ruth Fazal's symphony called Awakening. The Glory School also opened my eyes and heart to see how God sees us. God's heart is towards all of humankind, even those who refuse to know and love Him. He loves because He loves. He wants to be in relationship with us and is always Father. So when we do say yes to a relationship with Him, and Jesus has taken away our sin, we again say yes in worship. I became fascinated with a profound truth. As Christians, our spirits are in two places at the same time. We are already worshiping in heaven while our bodies are here on earth. We are three-part beings made in the image of God. If your spirit is alive in Jesus, you are, in a sense, with Him. His Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, is also with you, deep inside you. This means that we can worship God in the midst of doing ordinary things. During the last broadcast, I mentioned the 17th century monk, Brother Lawrence. He turned washing dishes into an act of worship. He did this and other joy-filled mundane tasks into beautiful things. His life was filled with joy as he practiced the presence of God. Please check him out. He has a beautiful story. Brother Lawrence discovered that we are in two places. He invited heaven into his tasks, and it became a worship service. He did everything with love and saw it as his life's purpose to perform even the simplest tasks with love. Everything he did was to be a gift of service, of worship to God. This is what he said about worship itself, that in the end we ought to propose to ourselves is to become in this life the most perfect worshipers of God that we can be, as we hope to be, through all eternity. The Apostle Paul also wrote in Ephesians 2 verse 6 that we are seated in heavenly places. This means that in a sense we are already part of the heavenly choir. This choir is much bigger than any church choir or worship team. Hillsong worship leaders Brooke Ligertwood and Ben Fielding expanded that sense of heaven. Heaven was invading our ordinary plane of existence even more when they wrote the song, What a Beautiful Name. One verse goes, "You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now?" As we are promised in Romans 8 that nothing will separate us from the love of God, how can it? He's right there in our spirit. So what is this three-part being that I mentioned earlier? We are. We have a physical body. We have a soul, which is our mind, emotions, and our will. And we have a spirit, that part of us that is touched by God and filled with His Spirit. Not that the Holy Spirit doesn't impact our soul and body. He does. When we love Jesus, our spirits are connected to God and united with Him. Our soul also has a chance to be involved. We can decide not to worship God at that time, although this grieves Him. When we say yes to His love, we become close and begin to love Him in return. When you worship God in spirit, it involves the deepest part of you, your spirit. But it is wonderful when your body and soul are also involved in worship. When you worship God in your spirit, you can do other things with your body. These include working, cooking, driving, and spending time with your family. Although, don't close your eyes if you're worshiping while driving. You could even be doing ministry. If you worship inside while doing ministry, it makes your outreach very special, since God works through you even more deeply when you're focused on Him. If you worship God in your spirit, you can also make it easier to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in your daily life. He speaks inside your heart, since you're already in an active relationship with Him. This communication becomes a natural flow from you to God and from God to you. Staying in the rhythm of this flow is also the key of abiding. Jesus refers to abiding in John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. These scripture verses tell us that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. Branches grow without effort if they are attached to the vine. We live in a wine-growing area of South Africa where there are many vineyards. The grapes will not grow if they're not part of the vines. If they are connected, they will grow and in time make very good wine. The grapes abide in the vine. To abide means to dwell with or inside. When we take time and we are closely connected with Jesus, we can worship him with deep contentment. He is inside our hearts and we are in him. We are in the same place with Jesus. We grow more at peace and more content when we are with him. Apostle Paul shared that he was content in all things because he was focused on Jesus. We can do the same and also remember that Jesus will never leave you. What does it mean to worship in truth? The concept of worshiping in truth can be hard to understand at first. I believe to worship in truth is to be honest with God about who you are. Don't hide anything from him. As you get closer to God, you may see yourself as more sinful than you used to feel, but really, your eyes are getting more in tune with truth. We don't always see the hidden sin that God sees. You begin to see yourself as you are, a sinner saved by grace, who is adopted in his love. When you realize who you are, you begin to step into your identity as a child of God. You are a precious daughter. You are a precious son. Then you can live as a saint instead of a sinner. You become thankful and hungry for more of his presence. So as you realize who you are, you can also realize who God is to you. Let me explain it another way. Some people have trouble understanding God as a good and loving father. Because of this, they might have trouble worshiping him. They instead think of mistakes that their own earthly father made. Their earthly father might have been mean. He may have been strict, or he might have ignored them. But God is not that earthly father who made those mistakes. Papa God is not mean, and while he is holy, he does not ignore you. He sees you. He loves you. God is pure love, and he is perfect. If you open yourself up, allow God to reveal himself to you. Then he can show you who he really is. When we begin to realize who God is to us, even in part, we change for the better. Allow his presence to soak and fill you with love. It even makes you more loving. It's like we are a sponge left in a basin of water. If God is love, he fills you with his presence of love. During our last broadcast, I mentioned Rat Redman's story behind the song, The Heart of Worship. Let's look at the words with new eyes. As you meditate on these words, ask God to help you worship him in spirit and truth. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about knowing who God is and who you really are. You are a son or a daughter in Christ. And doesn't he deserve all we have? We'll discover that worship and work can be connected next time. Lord, thank you for those who are listening. Thank you for hearts that are searching for you. Some are even worshiping you right now. I ask that you would draw us deeper and teach us about worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Give us new eyes to see you as you really are, and to see just how much you love us. Expand our hearts to love even more. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Couples Western Cape Radio.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made.
It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. You're looking into my heart, yeah. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, 'cause it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made, 'cause it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. All about you.
Matt Redman's famous worship song, Heart of Worship, which he wrote when he felt that too much attention was being paid to the music and not enough to God, not enough to Jesus. And now Laurie-Anne continues with more music.
CWCP, Koppel's Western Cape Radio. I'm L.A. Koppel. I'm back with music this week. We had such good and long interviews last week that I just didn't want to intrude. Since I shared a shorter message this week, we have more time to explore the music. We're in the heart of South African winter, and I've just had my birthday. We had a lovely afternoon with a view at Nye on the Hill. They took good care of us, and we came home with homemade apricot chutney that I had with my babati spring rolls. I've also been showered with love on Facebook and WhatsApp all week. I've been enjoying special moments with people, and even more so with the kids at the prison and with the inmates. I'm thankful, even if it is cold. I'm going to share with you one of my favorite winter songs. It's a cover of Lindisfarne's song called Winter Song. Here's Tim Redman's version on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
When winter's shadowy fingers first pursue you down the street, and your boots no longer lie about the cold beneath your feet, do you spare one thought for summer, whose passage is complete, whose memories lie in ruins, and whose ruins lie in heat? When winter comes, how strangely blowing music through your head, and your rain splattered windows make you decide to stay in bed. Do you spare one thought for the homeless tramp who wishes he was dead? Or do you pull the bedclothes higher, dream of summertime instead? When winter comes howling in, cold has fingers that caress without permission, and your mystic crystal snowdrops only aggravate the condition. Do you spare one thought for the gypsy with no secure position, who's turned and spurned in village and town at the magistrate's decision? When winter comes howling in, turkeys in the oven and the Christmas presents are bought, and Santa's in his module, he's an American astronaut. Do you spare one thought for Jesus, who had nothing but his thoughts, who got busted just for talking in the wrong sorts? When winter comes howling in,
in the early morning rain, with a dollar in my hand and an aching in my heart, and my pockets full of sand, I'm a long way from home, and I miss my loved ones so. In the early morning rain, with no place to go, out on runway number 9, big 707 set to go, but I'm stuck here in the grass, where the cold wind blows. Now the liquor tasted good, and the women all were fast. Oh, there she goes, my friend, she's rolling down the last. Hear the mighty engines roll, see the silver bird on high, she's away and westward bound, far above the clouds she'll fly, where the morning rain don't fall and the sun always shines. She'll be flying over my home in about 3 hours' time. Got me down. It's no earthly good to me, 'cause I'm stuck here on the ground, as cold and as drunk as I can be. You can jump a jet plane like you can't afraid to rain, so I'd best be on my way in the early morning rain. You can jump a jet plane like you can't afraid to rain, so I'd best be on my way in the early morning rain.
CWCP, Koppel's Western Cape Radio. I'm L.A. Koppel. We just heard Stephen Fearing, a Canadian folk favorite, with his version of Early Morning Rain. It's been raining a lot more these days, and those reservoirs are beginning to fill up. And we also heard Tim Redman with Winter Song. While I'm not a winter fan per se, I'm very fond of that song. I love the spring and the autumn, actually. What's your favorite season?
Well, we've come to the end of this week's edition of the Worcester Reports. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you all. Thank you again to Johan and Marie Fourie. And CWCP Radio has actually been broadcasting for quite a few hours today. And if I feel up to it, we may continue with music and teachings. Be blessed. This is Tony Koppel signing off.